Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
And the rain continues. We're going to see it for the next few hours and then a bit of a break. Then it starts to increase again during the evening commute and overnight. I'll show you how much more rain we have in store.
A school bus skids into a ditch on the way to school. What we've learned about the students and the driver who is behind the wheel.
And caught on dash cam, a highway patrol officer captures a crash on slick roads. Why this accident could have been much worse.
Those showers continue through the afternoon and overnight tonight. Temperatures pretty chilly out there as well. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Here's a live picture from the WRAL storm tracker. Meteorologist Brian Schrader is riding in it to show us the real-time road conditions and any crashes they may come across. We begin with meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with when we'll see the heaviest rain out of today's system.
You know, it's Groundhog Day, and it feels like the movie. Over and over and over, almost every day this week, we've seen rain. Today, we add to it some extra chill. So it is, you know, really miserable feeling outside. We do have this band of rain that's sitting over us right now. It's likely that this band will slide off to the east, and we may see a break for a few hours during the middle of the afternoon. It does redevelop around the evening commute and stays with us again overnight. And then once all that pushes out by tomorrow morning, it looks like we are finally going to get a break for a few days. You can see here, it started to lighten up a little bit in Henderson, Lewisburg, Zebulon. This band is moving pretty quickly. We'll head down to the south, and that's where it's headed. We're seeing some steady showers in Sanford and Southern Pines from Dunn to Selma to Goldsboro. And again, this is going to be with us for a little bit longer until we start to see this particular band moving out. Even when that band of rain moves out, it's still going to be wet. That's what we're seeing here in Lewisburg at our live look from Tar Banks Brewing. Future cast showing that rain with us right now. You can see that here at noon. Watch it moves out by around 2 o'clock or so, and things may be a little quieter for a few hours. Then we start to see the rain redeveloping as we get into the evening commute. That begins to settle across the area and then eventually slides southward and out of here by the time we get to early Friday morning. But some of that rain is going to be heavy. You can see how that sets up down to our south early Friday morning. But most of Friday should end up being dry for us. We're looking still at this big band of rain that's back to our west. So we see this break that's here in the western part of North Carolina, but we have more of this that'll be pushing in and helping to bring us some more rain overnight. So this is a look at our hour by hour rain chances. Once we get into the time of the evening commute, it bounces back up and it doesn't really start to taper off until closer to sunrise. We take a look at where Brian Schrader is in the storm tracker right now, and it looks like he's just south of Raleigh right there on the Beltline. Brian, it's probably coming down fairly heavily where you are.
It is starting to pick up a little bit. As you saw on radar, the back edge of that band of rain is starting to move through Wake County, and sort of the heaviest rain is now moving over East Raleigh out toward the eastern side of Wake County. This is I-40 eastbound, about to approach the Rock Quarry Road interchange, and you can see it is just a miserable kind of day out here. Elizabeth and I were talking earlier this morning about how this may be some of the worst weather you can get in North Carolina with pouring rain and temperatures in the upper 30s and lower 40s. Just kind of a dreary day. We're traveling just below the speed limit, about 60, 65 miles an hour out here, and it's fine. There's a lot of spray getting kicked up, and the roads are wet, so you do need to be careful as you head out this afternoon. We're going to be on the roads through the rest of this newscast. Another update coming up in just a few minutes.
And here in the WRAL Live Center, we're checking to see how this wet weather and the stormy weather all across the country, it's impacting airport travel all over the country. Let's take a look at nationally right now. More than 10,000 flights are delayed nationwide. More than 1,500 flights are canceled right now. Let's bring it home to RDU International. And you can see right now, 12 flights are delayed at RDU International. Just 2 flights are canceled right now. But as always, you're going to the airport, have a flight. Make sure you check that flight status before heading out.
Ken, thank you. We'll be tracking the rain here in the Triangle and the winter weather across the country. You can track the weather in your area anytime using the WRAL weather app.
4 children were hurt when their school bus wrecked into a ditch this morning. This happened on Lemon Springs Road in Lee County, and that's right where we find WRAL's Adam Owens right now. And Adam, the first question that comes to mind is, the crash have anything to do with the weather we're dealing with right now?
Oh, Jeff, that was our first question to Highway Patrol, and I spoke with a member, a trooper from the Highway Patrol just a short time ago. They tell me it is certainly nasty out here. It is cold and wet, but they say they do not believe that weather played a major role in this crash here. It is a newer stretch of road that has been recently repaved. It is a straight stretch of road. It doesn't look like there's any ponding water in this area, but still, as you take a look at the shoulder here, you can see the damage that was done to it by that large bus. Let's get a look at some video from earlier this morning. It was around 7:30 this morning. Troopers responded to Lemon Springs Road, and this is what they found when they arrived. A bus laid over in the ditch. There were more than a dozen students on that bus on the way to Mena Charter School at the time. We're told four of those kids received minor injuries and were taken to the hospital. Troopers say the bus driver was also not injured in the accident, but is facing a charge of failure to maintain lane control. They say the bus was traveling down Lemon Springs Road when the bus simply went off to the right and struck the ditch here. I talked with the aunt of two of the children who were hurt. She says they will be fine, but were complaining of pain, like back pain, earlier.
Do you know what happened inside the bus?
I really don't know, because they were talking to the doctor when we got there. Yeah. But I guess that with all the turbulence of the, I guess some other kids falling over them, or we really don't know what happened.
We've also reached out to the charter school where these children attend, where they were headed when this all happened. And leaders there tell us that they take safety of their children, of their students. Obviously, it is a very big deal for them. They say they, too, are trying to figure out exactly what happened and are looking to it into it as well, Jeff.
Adam Owens live in Lee County this noon for us. Adam, thank you. A fire in a storage lot at Lizard Lick Towing may have been caused by a battery in a hybrid car. WRL Breaking News Tracker spoke with an employee after 1 a.m. about the flames you see in this video. The person told us a fire came from a wrecked hybrid the towing company picked up earlier in the day. Firefighters put those flames out overnight. There was some heat damage to some other vehicles nearby.
The North Carolina State Supreme Court heard arguments this morning in a case that will determine when people convicted of felonies can have their right to vote restored. WRL State Government reporter Travis Fain listened to the oral arguments, and he joins us now. Travis, good afternoon to you. What is the crux of this case?
So the state constitution says if you're convicted of a felony, you can't vote unless that right is restored in a manner, quote, prescribed by law. The General Assembly wrote that law decades ago, and it says you can vote, but not until you've finished probation or parole, paid off all your court fees. You got to be completely done with the sentence. Activists say that discriminates against potential black voters who are more likely to be convicted of a felony. They also argue that the requirement to pay fees first discriminates against poor people, that it's like requiring property ownership to vote. They want the line on restoration moved so that people can vote right when they get out of prison. So you're still on probation, but you're not locked up. You can vote. This case was filed in 2019. Court's been back and forth over the issue. People who still owe fines were allowed to vote in the 2022 elections because of this lawsuit. But now the state Supreme Court is set to issue a more final decision.
Any clue which way the court is leaning on this?
Probably against letting people on probation vote. We elect our state Supreme Court using partisan elections here in North Carolina. And in November, voters flipped the body from a 4-3 Democratic majority to a 5-2 Republican one. The Republican justices today, the questions they asked really kind of seemed like attempts to poke holes in key arguments. You don't want to read too much into it, but I felt like you could read some into that. We won't know for sure for a while. Court doesn't set timetables for decisions, but certainly should come before the next major election.
Travis Fain, thank you so much. This is certainly a nuanced issue, and Travis will have much more on this case at WRL.com.
22 states, including North Carolina, now banned TikTok on government devices. This month, Governor Cooper signed an executive order prohibiting the use of the social media app on state computers and state-owned phones. Today, Duke University hosted a roundtable with several experts to talk about what these bans mean, if they will actually happen, and what you need to know to stay safe while using the very popular video app. One expert explains when you open TikTok, what they're collecting you may not even know about.
They will collect things like your name and your email. They'll collect your IP address. And then there's a range of other types of data that the privacy policy permits that has caused some concern. So that is the keystroke pattern.
The CEO of TikTok is expected to testify before Congress in March regarding privacy concerns.
And breaking here in the WREL Live Center, UNC head football coach Mack Brown agreeing to a one-year contract extension. We should point out the extension adds to Brown's contract. It runs through January 2028 now. Now, in making the announcement, AD Bubba Cunningham says Brown has re-energized the program in many ways. For his part, Coach Brown says he appreciates the university's continued investment in the football program. Last season, the Tar Heels won 9 games, won the Coastal Division, and made it to the Holiday Bowl. Coach Brown will be around for the foreseeable future coaching at UNC Chapel Hill.
Ken, thanks. Saturday night's Powerball jackpot is now $700 million. That's because no one matched all 5 numbers plus the Powerball. Check those tickets, though, because someone bought a ticket worth $1 million in Garner at the Food Lion on NC50. So here are the winning numbers. They are 31, 43, 58, 59, and 66. The Powerball is 9, and the Power Play is 2. The $1 million ticket that was sold in Garner matched all the white balls, but not the Powerball. You can watch Saturday night's drawing live on WREL at 11.
Meantime, next at noon, a possible mass shooting prevented. How LA police found a stash of weapons in a high-rise and the troubled past of the man arrested.
Also, an 18-wheeler in Oklahoma sliding across an icy highway. Video shows how much worse this could have been.
Plus, the safety issues reported at 3 different Wake County schools recently. At 12:30, the steps school leaders are taking.
Download the new WREL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Police in Los Angeles believe they have prevented a mass shooting. Police were called to a high-rise in Hollywood, California, after reports of a man acting strangely. After securing a search warrant, they found several guns set up in an 18th-floor apartment, pointing out a large window toward a park below. The 24-year-old man was arrested for making criminal threats. He's being held on a $500,000 bond. The man has a violent criminal history that could be traced to at least one other state. A new study reveals a shorter period of time between when guns were bought and when law enforcement retrieved them from scenes of crimes. A report from the ATF reveals 54% of guns recovered at crime scenes in 2021 were bought within 3 years of the shootings. Officials estimate the spike could be caused by illegal gun trafficking or the legal purchase of a gun, which is then illegally sold to someone who cannot own one.
There are certain general approaches that could help reduce gun violence, universal background checks, red flag laws, legislation to hold parents and adults accountable for children getting access to guns and then doing something horrible with them.
The ATF report also found a rapid increase in ghost guns, firearms without serial numbers made by private individuals. Officials tracked down more than 19,000 ghost guns in 2021, more than double from the year before.
Get a load of this. An Oklahoma Highway Patrol dash cam caught the moments when a semi-truck skidded and crossed to the opposite side of the highway. And authorities say the crash could have been a lot worse. The video shows the vehicle as it lost control, and then it skidded across the second lane and slid through the cable barriers. It then enters the other side of the highway for a moment, narrowly avoiding oncoming traffic. The driver was ticketed for traveling at a speed that was unreasonable and unsafe for the road conditions at the time. No one was injured. Frightening images out of South Florida, where a Ferrari was left dangling in an elevator shaft after a car elevator at a dealership stopped working. Fire and rescue units had to cut the power to the facility because of a fuel leak. And then crews worked with the towing company to pull the car out of there. It took hours to complete the job. No one was hurt in this.
The company behind popular ChatGPT is launching a subscription plan now. For $20 a month, users can get faster response times and priority access to the tool. ChatGPT quickly went viral after releasing in late November. Since its popularity has grown, though, many people have been locked out or had to join a wait list. ChatGPT will remain free, but is exploring other options like lower cost plans and data packs. There's a growing effort to address concerns about artificial intelligence being used to cheat in the classroom. We're talking about ChatGPT here as well. It's an AI that can write sentences, paragraphs, even a student's entire essay with only a single prompt. Schools across the triangle are still trying to figure out how to approach the new technology. Experts at UNC have some advice.
Eventually, we have to change and update our honor codes and those agreements. The second really important change is in how we design assignments. For example, essays, connecting them in meaningful ways to their own personal context, to their own personal experience.
The makers of ChatGPT, OpenAI, released a new tool this week that can help track whether a student wrote a paper themselves or used the AI. However, the creators warn it is not perfect and won't catch all cheaters.
The jersey worn by Kobe Bryant during his only MVP season hits the auction block today at Sotheby's. Bryant wore the jersey 25 times during the 2007-08 season, and he scored 645 points in it. The auction runs through February 9th. The winner not only gets the jersey, but also a collection of memorabilia and photos of the NBA legend. The second part of the auction will feature items from other legendary athletes, including LeBron James, Roger Federer, and Michael Jordan. We're counting down to our first Battle of the Blues matchup of the year. Duke is hosting UNC this Saturday. The action tips off at 6:30 p.m. at Cameron Indoor Stadium. You can count on WRAL for complete coverage of the rivalry leading up to the game, post-game celebrations, and coaches' news conferences.
Winter is sticking around for at least six more weeks. If you believe Punxsutawney Phil in Pennsylvania, that's the word. Pennsylvania's famous groundhog saw his shadow this morning as he emerged from his burrow. Thousands gathered at Gobbler's Knob for this morning's celebration. At the top of this newscast, Garner's own Snurd the groundhog also checked for her shadow, and it's a consensus she also saw her shadow. So I guess that means we need to expect six more weeks of winter. Festivities got started at White Deer Park at 10 this morning with animal exhibits, educational booths, and more. Tell me how Snurd saw her shadow.
When it looks like this,
yeah,
all across the triangle. Maybe there was just like a moment of brightness there. But I like early spring because it feels like winter right now.
Yeah, it really does. It's chilly and about to get colder, even though we'll get a little sun once this rain goes away tomorrow.
Right. So tomorrow, it'll definitely be sunny. We'll see lots of shadows tomorrow, but yeah, that's interesting. When we take a look at radar, we do have a band of rain that's moving across the area right now. It's sliding south of the triangle. It will move on out of our viewing area, and it looks like we may have several hours this afternoon where the rain gives us a little bit of a break, but that won't be the end of it. We'll end up seeing more rain that rolls in starting around the time of the evening commute. That will continue overnight and finally push out of here just in time for the morning commute, so it looks like another rainy night. We take a look at our pictures close up, and you can see this next band starting to move on down south into Goldsboro. Wilson, Rocky Mount, seeing it. Benson, Andrew, Dunn. It's pretty fast moving. I think by the time we get to our next big weather hit, which will be at at about 12:45, most of this rain may be moving out of our viewing area. We take a look at how much rain we've seen so far just today, and that's been in the blue shaded areas, a half an inch to almost an inch. The green shaded areas would be maybe a quarter of an inch to a half an inch. So we saw the same thing just earlier this week. So far this week, some folks have seen as much as 2 inches. We could still see another half inch before it is all over. All right, Brian Schrader's out there in the storm tracker. You can see very close to Nightdale as we pull up Brian on the map, and you can see those windshield wipers moving along. Brian's pretty close to that band of rain that's a little bit heavier right now. The little piece of good news is our newer runs of the computer models are giving us a little bit more of a break and aren't bringing that rain back in until right around the time of the evening commute, or maybe even a little bit after. So it's messy out there right now, hoping that rain may hold off through the evening commute, but we certainly have more of it to go overnight tonight. We'll hear from Brian again coming up in just a little while. We take a look at some temperatures out there. Here's a look at clouds, temperatures, and precipitation together. Right now it is 39 in the Triangle area. We're looking at temperatures only climbing into the low 40s this afternoon, and then as we move it on past 5 o'clock, those temperatures begin to drop a little bit. At 8 o'clock, we're still looking at upper 30s to low 40s, but again, we're going to see a chilly night tonight. Temperatures will be dropping as we get through overnight on down into the 30s. Right now, we're taking a live look at RDU. It is messy, messy, messy at 39 degrees. Again, we'll climb into the low 40s later on this afternoon, but we're still sitting in the 30s. The sunshine returns tomorrow. A lot of folks will be happy to see that, but it's still going to be chilly. 45 with sun tomorrow, and then sunny and 41 on Saturday. Finally, by Sunday, temperatures are closer to normal at 53. Hey, this is something, if you've never seen, it's pretty entertaining. The Krispy Kreme Challenge, 8 a.m. on Saturday. People dress up in crazy costumes. If I were going, I would dress up in something big and furry. It'll be 23 degrees at 8 a.m. on Saturday with a wind chill at 15. Take a look at this wind chill. This is going to be heading home on Friday. It's going to feel like mid-20s to low 30s. We push it out to 9 o'clock Friday night, looking at 21 in Fayetteville and 13 in Roxboro. Looking at teens across the board Saturday morning at 8 a.m. And then we move it on out to lunchtime on Saturday. It will still feel like 25 degrees. So bitterly cold temperatures roll in, especially with that wind chill. 41 on Saturday. Then we warm up a little bit on Sunday. And then after that, we're back into the 60s for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday next week.
Elizabeth, thanks. Now here's a look at what we're following for our evening news. Today at 5, police say new cameras in Raleigh are helping get criminals off the street. How the technology works and why the department's chief says they are important now more than ever.
Then at 6, the wait to get a driver's license in our state can take a long time. 5 on Your Side asks why it's taking so long. And a milestone coming up next. A milestone in the move to return to the office and a shift from the Federal Reserve in its latest rate hike. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
After a series of big half-point rate hikes, the Fed raised its key interest rate by a quarter point yesterday. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said last year's rate hikes had started to pull inflation lower, but the Fed also indicated its fight against inflation continues, and it plans to push rates higher again next month. Powell said, quote, "We're going to be cautious about declaring victory." Still, some on Wall Street see the Fed pausing its rate hikes later this year as inflation continues to ease. The rate of people returning to the office topped 50% for the first time since the pandemic began. Last week, the average office use rate was 50.4% of what it was just before COVID-19 hit in March of 2020. The data is from Castle Systems, which tracks the security swipes of people in buildings in 10 major U.S. cities. Castle says Tuesday is the busiest day for people in the office. Friday, the day offices are the emptiest. The highest return to office rates were in Texas. Both Houston and Austin were above 60%. Netflix has started revealing details of its crackdown on password sharing. The streaming giant is taking steps to verify that devices are logged into the subscriber's home network. So if someone tries to access the account on a new device not associated with your household, the primary account holder will get an email with a verification code. And it's the same thing for when your account is repeatedly being used outside of your home. You can find more details of the plan on Netflix Help Center page. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
The Biden administration wants to reduce credit card late fees. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is proposing a federal rule that lowers credit card late fees from about $30 to $8. The Biden administration says it would save people about $9 billion yearly. The proposal is part of President Biden's push to limit junk fees.
The FTC is accusing GoodRx of sharing sensitive customer information with advertising platforms. The government agency believes GoodRx allowed services such as Google and Facebook to obtain health details about consumers. The complaint states a case in which the healthcare company designed campaigns based on users' information to use for targeted ads on Facebook. Some of the information shared included personal health conditions as well as prescription medications.
Well, that rain is sticking around for much of the day, causing some slick spots out on the roads. Meteorologist Brian Schrader and Elizabeth Gardner return with a look at the forecast and commute time this lunch hour.
Plus, school safety is top of mind for parents and leaders in Wake County after threats and guns were found at separate campuses. What some schools are doing today to improve security.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
our dreary weather on this Groundhog Day, making all of us just want to burrow underneath the covers or hunker down at home, right? It is miserable out there.
Oh, the temperatures, they're cold. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center. We're looking at when the heaviest rain is going to come through here, and you've seen some breakups in this.
We have. I mean, one tiny little bit of good news is we're seeing this band shifting eastward. We will see a little bit of a lull in the precipitation, but it's still going to be damp outside. Our temperatures will still be in the 30s to low 40s. So, yeah, still plenty of misery to go around out there. This band is starting to move down to the south, closer to Fayetteville, through parts of Harnett County, Johnston County, across the I-95 corridor, and over closer to the coast. Let's zoom in and take a closer look. From Durham northward up toward Henderson, we're looking at that really zipping out. But again, Southern Pines to Fayetteville, Dunn, Goldsboro, Wilson, Rocky Mount, seeing that rain. But it is pushing out of here. As a matter of fact, we have Brian Schrader in the storm tracker right now, and you can see he's over around Middlesex. He's east of Zebulon. And Brian, it looks like you're in a spot where maybe it's just raining lightly right now.
It's a very light rain here. The heaviest rain has moved off east of I-95. And we've got the windshield wipers going, but you can see it is just sort of sprinkling out here. We're not seeing a whole lot of rain, but we're still dealing with wet roads. And you can see the spray getting kicked up from that truck in front of us. We're going to get this little lull this afternoon, but of course we're concerned that we're going to see more rain, more significant rain coming through for the evening commute. So that could pose a real problem as you head out later this afternoon and evening. And of course, we will be tracking that for you on WRAL News beginning today at 4.
Brian, thank you. We'll be staying on top of the changing conditions here in the Triangle, as well as the winter weather across the country. You can keep track of the weather in your area anytime using the WRAL Weather app.
Extra security is at Zebulon Middle School as police search for the person who posted a threat online. It's one of three safety issues reported within 24 hours at separate Wake County schools. WRL's Laura Levine explains what steps school leaders are taking.
It has been a very concerning time for parents with students within Wake County Public School System. Here today at Zebulon Middle School, we are seeing that extra security presence with Wake County Sheriff deputies here on campus, as well as security team members with the Wake County Public School System. Now, this comes after the school went on lockdown yesterday when social media threats popped up showing pictures of guns, indicating someone was planning to bring those guns to school. That picture saying, Zebulon Middle School, you're up next. A statement sent to parents also stated administrators at the school will consult with law enforcement to determine if they should close off portions of the campus to make it easier to monitor students.
It's really concerning that crazy people live today. Like, you have to take everything serious, and it's very concerning.
That was just one of three incidents yesterday. There was also a scare at Roseville High School. Students are returning to campus today after a student with a loaded gun yesterday prompted a code red lockdown. A third incident yesterday involved a toy gun brought to Cardinal Charter Academy. And here at Zebulon Middle School, investigators right now are looking into the source of that social media threat. The person responsible could face some consequences. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Zebulon.
A group in Raleigh that says it wants to end police violence is hosting an open forum tonight. The Refund Raleigh Freedom Committee says it is trying to gather support for its cause, but it's not inviting representatives from the city or the police force to the forum to hear the issues. Organizers say they need to make their voices heard to bring about change.
We decided that we wanted to organize this forum to gather people because we believe that that mobilization organization can't just stop at a protest. We believe that the police department in general is not actually keeping people safe.
The group's forum is happening tonight at 6 at the Tarboro Road Community Center.
Today you can weigh in on improvements coming to a stretch of road that very often gets pretty backed up during the morning commute. The Department of Transportation is holding a public hearing on the widening of NC 42. See it on this map here, right between NC 50 and US 70 Business in Clayton. A DOT spokesperson for Johnston County says taking the county's growing population into account when making a decision on this project is important.
This is an important corridor in a fast-growing area. It is experiencing a lot of delays and backups during rush hour, and the traffic is going to keep growing. We have to do something on this road. We need to improve it. We need to widen it. We've got some design alternatives about improving some of the intersections that by getting public input and local official input, if we can get a project that everybody likes.
If you want to be heard on this, the public meeting starts tonight at 5 at the Clayton Center.
Downtown Raleigh businesses can now apply for grants to help them grow their business. The Downtown Raleigh Alliance is taking applications for its Storefront Upfit Grant Program. The grants can help businesses cover the costs to renovate, improve, and build out their stores. Business owners may be eligible for up to $15,000. The goal, to add value to businesses and make downtown even more vibrant. Applications are on the Downtown Raleigh Alliance's website.
Tonight, you have another chance to help shape the future of housing in Raleigh. The city is holding a hearing tonight on its Missing Middle initiative. The goal is to build more duplexes, townhomes, and small apartments in the same area as single-family homes. Tonight's hearing is at 8 at Dix Park in the Greg Poole Jr. All Faiths Chapel. Well, check this out, a flexible robot that moves like a turtle instead of a human. Why, the team that designed it says its form can be a huge benefit.
Plus, new research that shows the link between your mood and the quality of the air you breathe. What may trigger anxiety or depression? You're looking live from our tall tower cam in Auburn, and even above the clouds, it is dreary, gray, and just kind of miserable out there. You're watching WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. We're going to struggle to make it out of the 40s. Many people have reservations about choosing to work with a mental health professional. And in some cultural groups, the topic is taboo. One thing that the pandemic has taught many people is that you're not alone. Joining us to talk about the importance of diversity in the mental health field is Marisha Mathis with ThriveWorks Associates, which is based here in Raleigh. Marisha, thank you so much for joining us. Talk about why it's important to have a therapist that looks like you and understands your life experience.
Thank you for having me. It's important for a person to have someone that looks like them because it creates environment comfort. And when a person is comfortable, they're more prone to engage, they're more prone to express themselves more openly, they're more prone to be honest, and they're more prone to really just be involved in what's going on. It's a sense of relief in being able to have a therapist that gets you and understands things that you may not necessarily want to have to explain or feel comfortable explaining otherwise.
Slaying that foundation for trust there, how does stigma around mental health in the Black community affect Black patients as well as providers?
Sometimes it makes patients reluctant altogether to want to engage in treatment, or sometimes some diagnoses are more acceptable within the community than others. And so it requires the therapist in and of itself to be more patient and more diligent in engaging and trying to make the patients comfortable.
And Marisha, what would you say are some barriers that Black patients face when trying to find Black providers?
Not necessarily knowing where to start, or how to determine which specialties or which modalities of treatment work for them or would be better for them in the long run.
You know, there's so much heaviness going on in our world, and if people are struggling, what would you say is the first step to go about in finding that help and reaching for help?
You can start as simple as Google, or you can look at other websites like Psychology Today or ZocDoc, or just asking someone that you trust if they know of anyone that can be of help to you, or someone that you know may have already been receiving services or is currently receiving services, and get referrals.
And Marisha, for people who've never gone to a therapist, what would you say is the advantage to therapists and what would make them more comfortable?
Being able to process your feelings, mm-hmm. being able to share things that are confidential, being able to just be in a position that's safe, having that safe space to be able to get out what it is that you may be holding in, or to have someone to bounce your feelings off of, someone that can you can say things out loud and then someone express to you or rephrase or provide recommendations for what you're saying.
So important for our mental health. Marisha Mathis with ThriveWorks Associates, we so appreciate your time and your insight.
Thank you.
A new study has found a link between depression and polluted air. Researchers looked at a large-scale biomedical database in the UK, and they found that people who were exposed to higher amounts of air pollution for a long period had an increased risk of depression and anxiety. Researchers couldn't pinpoint the reason for the link between depression and polluted air, but they believe exposure affects the central nervous system, causing inflammation. How about this? A robot that could help to shape the future of scientific research. We'll have a look at this unique device coming up. Also, at first glance, you probably can't tell the difference between a new Rubik's Cube and the old one sold in the 80s. Why the company is switching over to recycled materials. Researchers believe a shape-shifting robot could change the future of scientific research and underwater exploration. Turtles serve as the inspiration behind Yale University's shape-shifting robot named Art. Unlike rigid limbs on many of today's traditional robots, this design has four flexible legs powered by artificial muscles. This special design lets Art adjust how it moves so it can navigate across all sorts of terrain.
Adaptomorphogenesis is the idea that the robot's body is made of all these components and that we can treat those, which are normally fixed materials, as mutable as well. So we can change the structure of the robot as well as the way it's moving and interacting with the world.
Leave it to Yale to come up with adaptive morphogenesis. Huh? The team there at Yale is working to improve how fast Art can transition between land and water. They also hope to program the robot so it knows when to shapeshift by itself.
Solving the newest Rubik's Cube is now sustainable. Rubik's Cube now offers a 100% recycled version of the rotating puzzle for retail. What was originally made with wood, paper, and rubber bands is now made with recycled plastic and cardboard. The company hopes that this will motivate children to be more eco-friendly.
And here in the WRA Live set, we want to give you a live look at a spacewalk underway right now. Let's take you 250 miles above the Earth. You can see the International Space Station. A couple of astronauts out there doing their work. This is Nicole Mann and Kyochi Wakata. They've been at this now since about 8 o'clock this morning. They're laying the groundwork for future missions to improve the solar equipment that powers the International Space Station. A couple of times they, you could see the helmet cam from both astronauts, but right now they don't have that camera up. I wish they'd brought it back so you can see it. But this work is expected to take about 7 hours. Again, they've been at this since 8 o'clock this morning, so they have about two or three more hours worth of work to do. I'm going to get right to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking the forecast here on Earth.
Oh, it's chilly and wet, and that's going to be the case for the rest of the afternoon and overnight. Then tomorrow we're back to sunshine, but we'll see even colder air that filters in. Let's take a look at HD Doppler Network here, and you can see that line of showers mainly east of I-95 back down toward Fayetteville. So we've really started to see some of that steadier rain taper off from the Triangle area northward. We'll be waiting. You can see back to the west across Charlotte and back over toward Hickory, more rain redeveloping, and we'll see some scattered showers on and off through the afternoon. And then the rainfall picks up in intensity once we get closer to the evening commute. And it'll be heavy at times in some places overnight tonight before it all tapers off. We'll zoom in here and you can see from Fayetteville to Dunn to Coates to Goldsboro to Wilson. Goldsboro in particular, one of the spots where that rain is pretty steady right now. Brian Schrader's been out in the storm tracker all through this lunch hour. And right now he is to the west of Zebulon, headed back toward Knightdale. Brian, of course, I can see where you are right now. You've got some wet conditions on the roads, but for the most part, the rain has really tapered off where you are, and it does look like it may be a while before we start to see that rain picking back up again. The hope is that during the evening commute, that rain will be a bit lighter, especially on some of our more heavily traveled roads, but of course, you just want to be prepared. You may want to plan to leave work a little bit early. You can tell your boss I said so, or maybe even a little later to keep it from being just such a mess as folks are headed out on the roads. Here's a look at Goldsboro. Goldsboro, as I mentioned, one of those places where the rain's coming down a little more steadily right now. I've got a little bit of a break going on here in Apex and Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill there, of course, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. We see the back end of the rain and the winter storm moving out of Texas right now. Some thunder and lightning there in East Texas and over across parts of Louisiana. They still have a little bit of accumulating freezing rain in a few spots, but most of the advisories here with the system, at least in terms of the ice storm, have expired. Just a few of those left across parts of Oklahoma. Oklahoma and into Arkansas and the northern part of Mississippi. So there's going to be a lot of recovery there. There have been hundreds of thousands of people without power from Texas all the way up to Tennessee. So it's a mess for a lot of folks there. We'll see a few scattered showers here through the afternoon. Once we get closer to the evening commute, we'll see more bands of rain moving through. Some of that will be steady to heavy during the evening. This takes us to midnight, and we'll stop it there at about 4 a.m., and you can see some of the heavier rain is down south, but it's on its way out. At that point, it will continue to push southward, and as we get into the morning commute, some of that may linger, but at least we know it's going to be on its way out. Here's how much more rain we could see for the rest of the day today and into early tomorrow. A half an inch to an inch, maybe just a quarter of an inch in our northern counties. After we get past today, it is dry for a while, which is going to feel good, sort of. I mean, we talked about half an hour ago how cold it's going to be Friday night and into Saturday with wind chills in the teens. But we start to warm up on Friday at 53, and we're in the 60s with some sunshine Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. What a change.
We would have had an intersection of Mahomes to Kelce. That would have been perfect.
Coming up, we'll take you to the city where two NFL quarterbacks can both claim victory. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. The WRAL Storm Tracker is on the road right now. Elizabeth Gardner says we'll see showers continue through the afternoon and the overnight hours. Look for team coverage of the conditions and their impact on your evening commute on our news starting at 4.
Highway Patrol says this school bus crash in Lee County was not directly weather related. Four children were hurt when their school bus went off the road into a ditch this morning. The bus was on its way to Mena Charter School. Troopers say the bus driver was not hurt.
The North Carolina State Supreme Court heard arguments this morning in a case that will determine when convicted felons get their right to vote restored. State law says that happens once a convicted felon completes probation or parole and pays off all court fees. Activists say that discriminates against potential black voters who are more likely to be convicted of a felony and poor people of all races who can't afford fines.
A Pennsylvania teen says his love for balloon art and the Philadelphia Eagles are a winning combination. 17-year-old turned a hobby into a way to not just celebrate the birds, but create Eagles art. It all started with his first job at a kid's birthday party when he was 12, and he hasn't stopped. Creating goalposts where you can score hot dogs, a mug of beer, popcorn, even football players. Now he's even gotten the call for more than once from those Eagles. Can you believe? He's also colorblind. He hopes to become an ophthalmologist so he can help others. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes might play for the Kansas City Chiefs. We know he does. But a street 1,000 miles away now bears his name. A real estate developer in a suburb of Salt Lake City, Utah, named one of the streets Mahomes Lane. Yeah, right in the middle of Broncos and Raiders country. He says he was watching the game while working and thought it would be fun to name a street after Patrick Mahomes. So far, the reaction has been mixed.
After 200 blacklisters, nothing you do surprises me anymore.
NBC's hit drama, The Blacklist, is coming to an end after a decade on the air. NBC released a trailer today for the final season that begins on Sunday, February 26th. The series stars James Spader as Red Reddington. It debuted in 2013. The show will celebrate its 200th episode during the course of its upcoming season.
Our pet of the day has been waiting for a home for 330 days. Let's bring that streak to an end, shall we? This is 5-year-old Potter. Potter looks this way because of allergies. Unfortunately, being at the shelter for so long has been stressful for her and only made her flare-ups worse. Potter is on a special diet and takes some medications to help manage her symptoms, but a peaceful, stable home is what she needs. Interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org.
Getting stuck in a routine is not always a good thing. It can lead to a feeling of being stuck. Today on WRAL News at 4, how to get out of the rut of Groundhog Day syndrome.
It's a real thing, I guess, right? NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Or whether this week has been stuck in a rut, you can get breaking news updates anytime on the WRAL News app. Make the most of this rainy day.
Want more news and weather? Coverage continues across all major streaming platforms using the WRAL app and on the radio at 99.3 in Raleigh and 96.5 in Durham.